Hi, it's Tanya. Today, my guest is Donna Cravatta. Donna is the founder and CEO of Social Pivot PR. Donna's passion is to inspire people to rethink their approach to social media. I invited Donna to the show today because she achieved the impossible. She got me to see that social media isn't just junk and noise, that it is possible to engage with social media thoughtfully and purposefully and with generosity. During this conversation, you will learn many things from Donna. Don't worry about taking notes because I'll have it all down in the show notes. I hope you enjoy this conversation. Thank you, Donna, for stopping by to speak with us today. I very much appreciate learning from you and figuring out a way forward.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here, and I love to share my rethinking of social media.
Yes. And I've been the beneficiary of your rethinking of social media. Just so listeners know, I attended a session a year ago or so with you that you led. And just that short session changed how I started thinking about social media. And then recently, I spent more time learning from you. Before, I'm sure, like as with many people, you know, social media is just noise. And my way of describing it is that it's just throwing confetti into the wind and hoping somebody notices one little piece of confetti. And started working together before the turn of events, and now it's just different. May I ask you to introduce yourself to listeners, please?
Yes, of course. So my name is Donna Cravatta, and I left my corporate job in a large law firm in 2006 to start a home-based business to be closer to home for my son. My law firm job part-time was 60 hours a week, so it wasn't conducive to parenting, and then never mind single parenting. It's just, you know, I came to the realization that other people would be raising my child, and I wasn't okay with that. So it was 2006, and there were not very many virtual businesses online, but I took a gamble on myself, and I quit, and it's been, you know, almost 14 years, so I'm still going. There's ups and there's downs, but it's really good. And what I do, when I started one of the first virtual assistants businesses, because there were only about 50 of us at the time in 2006. And, you know, one thing led to another as the whole online world was growing. And, you know, I found my way to social media and I loved it and I never looked back. And then I had a client that needed PR. So I rolled in the PR, and then she needed some SEO and content development work. And I rolled that in, and I realized that these were all the things I was doing in the law firm for all the years that I worked there. I was on the administrative side. I was a project manager. I did like tons of roles there. I was there for the last job I had. I was there for 17 years. So I pretty much grew up there. And I, you know, put all of this together and created this thing that I've recently started calling the Gather Method. And it's where you gather the things that you need, because the online space is so loud and so noisy and so difficult to be heard, particularly if, you know, you don't have the resources to like be loud because it costs a lot of money to be loud. So I took the approach of stopping, listening first, and figuring out who your audience was, the avenues that the audience come to you, and listening to them before you say anything. So, you know, that the, you can go back to the, you have two ears and one mouth. And, you know, listen first, figure out what people like, what they need, what they don't like, what they respond to, what their fears are, and not to prey on their fears, but to alleviate their fears, and to be able to show up and be a solution, and not in a pushy or salesy way, but just, you know, to help people. And when you show up in that way, you make everything better, first of all, and you build trust. And you had mentioned earlier that you heard me on a short training a year ago. I constantly have people coming back and saying that they heard me say something that they never heard before, and they'll come back and they'll become clients. And I don't push, I don't sell, but I've had a steady flow of business for 14 years. And the other thing that I liked, and it's not just social media, it is content. Content is the cornerstone of any online presence. And there are ways to build it where your content is smart and your content is out there working for you while you're doing other things and initiating the building of relationships. And when you use a series of tools, which do not have to be expensive, they're mostly free. but when you string them together and you put them in a way that they work together as opposed to kind of butting against each other, that content is out there creating relationships for you and taking the heavy lifting of social media away. So you, when you show up into social media, you could be present, you could be yourself, you could be the person that you want the world to see, that you want the person that has the solution. And the same thing with PR and media opportunities, podcasts such as this, where you speak to a smaller audience of people. So you're not speaking to everybody. You're speaking to people that maybe have the same interests, values as you do, that care about the same things that you do. And right there, you've kind of started building trust immediately because, you know, you're of the same tribe, right? And the same mindset. And it just works. I've worked with people in every walk of life, a funeral director, a stripper, a burlesque dancer, you know, lawyers and insurance agents and you name it. And it doesn't matter because this is a skill set that is based on human connection. It's based on trust. It's based on building relationships. And when you take that approach, it doesn't matter what industry you're in. It doesn't matter what the technological changes are, because that's something that's vast. What happens is you build things that don't change. So you can take them to platform to platform. The one thing that you do need to kind of just deal with right up front is the one thing you can count on is that everything will change. And just figure out like how this stuff works and accept that it's going to change and build the things that you build to be sustainable, to be able to make it through changes. Whenever I have this conversation, I say two words, remember Blab, which people built entire businesses on Blab, which was one of the first live streaming platforms. And overnight it was gone. So that's me and what I do. I'm also a mom. I have a 17-year-old boy who's getting ready to go off to college, and I just work and mom.
Yes, and you do wonderful work, which is why I reached out to you, invited you, and appreciate you being here and speaking with my audience. How do people use social media incorrectly?
I think the crux of that is that they're afraid of their own voice. They're afraid of being heard. So they shrink back, and social media becomes kind of like the butt of that. Like, you know, people don't like it. They don't want to do it. It's too much time. It's not worth it. I don't get the results. I need help. But what they really need to do is embrace their voice and embrace who they are and recognize how many people that they can help if they do this the right way. And what people will often do as they're kind of pushing social media off is they'll give it to somebody else to do for them. But that's the equivalent of handing your voice over to somebody else and saying, have these conversations for me, which they can't do. And, you know, you can't get really good social media done for $300 or $400 or $500 a month. You can get a lot of tasks done, but there is an undercurrent to social media that has nothing to do with the click here and do this and what comes next, the tactics of social media. It's about the trust and relationships and the listening and the connection that is possible through virtual relationships. And I have experienced this in my personal life, in my professional life, and through my clients. And it's amazing the opportunities that are out there. And I mean, I've had relationships for 10 years with people that I never met, and they're real. They're real. And usually when people come to me, it's after they're frustrated. They've done it all. They did all the things. Nothing works. They've spent a fortune. They did the ads. They bought this. They bought that. They've hired people. And, you know, still nothing. They have like, you know, 200 followers and nothing's happening. And, you know, it's not the amount of followers don't really matter, but it's who those followers are. You can have 200 followers, but if they're the 200 people that are coming to your page every day and interacting with you, or coming into your group and interacting with you, those 200 followers could change your business. But people shy away from it. They're reluctant and they're afraid. And one of the favorite things that I do in my business is to convert people over from from pushing and trying to be loud and keeping up with the loud voices and the tactics and the hacks and the newest, shiniest thing, to realizing, well, hell, I could just find my 200 people and that's all I really need.
Yeah. Yes. In my previous endeavor, I stumbled around social media. You know, it was the best that I could do. I'm not so much a fan of Facebook, but I really took to Twitter. I like Twitter. I like the interaction there. Yeah.
It's fast.
And so I've come back around but much smarter now, and with a very different perspective and approach to make it really purposeful and intentional communication instead of just stumbling around. And it's very, very different.
And have you had any good stories to share since you've re-engaged?
I like my approach now. it's a very different posture. And I am having interaction with people, you know, who I want to interact with. And so it's different.
Yeah, I actually spoke to a client last week, and she told me she had a podcast, and she had big followings, and she had a podcast for like 2 or 3 years and had tons of interviews, and she was really pumping out a lot of content, but nothing was happening. She wasn't enjoying it. It was work. And now that she's doing it this way, she's launched a new podcast, and I helped her with the marketing plan for that. And what we did was we just like lifted all the common themes of her first round of interviews. And we created a whole marketing plan around those common themes. And she's spending her time in LinkedIn because she's interviewing, you know, C-suite level women and, you know, how they interact with their voice. And in just a short period of time, she has filled up interview slots for like the next 6 months.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and it was all from just leveraging her first round of interviews, because that was where her community is. This is where the women that she interviewed are active online. She started sharing those interviews in interesting ways, and they started commenting and sharing and connecting her with other women. And it all came through that. And that started with 10 people, 10 interviews. So, you know, it's just like getting that one person that you want to connect with, and then growing around that to build a small and intentional audience.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that speaks also to, you already have what you need to move yourself forward. That the work that you did with the good intention and the pure intention to help other people and all that, that isn't work that's just finished and something from your past. It's No, that's wonderful. Well, good for her.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it doesn't take a lot. The other thing that I think that the mistake that people make is that they get so caught up in the frenzy of social media that they lose track of what they actually need. So, you know, we've got these little tiny micro businesses. There's only so much we can handle. I mean, there's a term for it. It's called the Oprah effect, from when Oprah had her TV show. Everybody would say, I want to be on Oprah. I want to be on Oprah. I was like, okay, so you're going to be on Oprah and your website's going to get shut down because you don't even have the bandwidth to handle the traffic. So it's the same thing that we do with ourselves, is we want this and we want that. And this one has this many followers, and this one is, you know, has this $1 zillion launch. And, you know, you want to attach onto these things that other people are achieving, which are not even realistic for what you need. So when you take a step back and you think, okay, well, I need 5 clients, or I need, you know, 50 people to buy my book, these are realistic goals. So in all the billions of people that are online, like, you know, just statistically, if you want 5 clients, do you have to connect with 200 people to get those 5 clients? Or if you want to sell 50 copies of your book, do you have to, like, do 5,000 people need to know who you are? You know, or 1,000 people, you know, it's not like this extraordinary number. And when you can boil it down to that, it becomes like this little barometer that you could check in with. and say, okay, well, I don't have to go there because I only need 5 clients. So I need to find where my 200 people are. Your 200 people could be in the audience of one podcast. So go get yourself interviewed on that podcast. And now you've engaged with those 200 people.
My audience is an independent workforce, right? They work project by project, event by event. They're creative and they want to work with the public. They want to work with others. And one of my objectives through my project is to articulate the depth and breadth and the knowledge of the people who work in this capacity in environmental education, the independent professionals who connect people with nature, who teach people how the world works. Another of my objective, in addition to bringing attention to all their good work, is to demonstrate that all these independent professionals are very good community partners. Because when people want to reach out to a community member, they tend to look for organizations or associations or a museum or a nature center or something like that. There's a whole bunch of other professionals out there who would make good partners. And so how can they use social media to connect with prospective partners in this field?
Well, I'm going to use our current global situation to use as an example on how people in your industry can, show up now when, you know, everybody is tentative about selling or saying the wrong thing. But there are a couple of topics that are very, they're in the news now and people are thinking about them. People also have more time to think about other things. But one of the things that has gotten a little swept under the rug over the last 3 years has been environmental conservation. And people may now be a little more open to learning about that. Now, they may not make a ton of money doing this right now, but it is a good opportunity to build those partnerships with the people, like make a list of the people that they would really like to educate for them to hear what they have to say. Maybe there are more people on the fence right now than there were 6 months ago. So even if they made a couple of $100s or didn't make anything at all, and we're just building up goodwill for when this turns around, they can establish those relationships and maybe do virtual training into an association or a school. Schools are looking for all kinds of content now because they've just gone virtual. The teachers can't handle it all. So, you know, they might not have the funding to pay very much or anything at all, but think of the impact that you could make and then the relationship that you have when there is funding coming in again. Mm-hmm. And alternatively, a past client of mine who's a nonprofit who I had sent a proposal to like 3 weeks ago, and I didn't expect to hear from them for at least 6 months. They came back to me last week and they think that they have the money to hire me. So, you know, don't close the doors, because the places where you think there might not be any money to pay you, you might be surprised. But I wouldn't let that hold you back right now, because the opportunities to build the relationships, the partnerships, the trust, the credibility, the doors are wide open. Make a short list. I mean, you know, they know who they want to speak to. They know. And like, if you start researching and poking around, if you find one, you'll find two. If you find two, you'll find four. And just make a list. Just start and keep it someplace, a spreadsheet, a document, a CRM, a task tool, whatever it might be, whatever works for you. But if you don't keep this stuff together, it falls apart. If you look at it collectively, you're going to start to see opportunities you didn't see before.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the follow-up question to that, how can freelance educators move forward using social media while separated from the people they serve? My audience is comprised of, you know, frontline interpreters, naturalists, and all sorts of individuals who work in person, you know, work with other people face to face. And how can they keep moving themselves forward while separated from the people they serve?
Okay, this is a good question. So I would recommend doing an audit of all the things that you can help somebody with. And people may not need every single thing that you can do. But think of the things that you don't even think about, that it just becomes, you know, it's just part of what you do. Those are the things that people often really need. And, you know, think of the disadvantage people are at if they are not used to working virtually. And also, again, as I mentioned before, there's an opportunity where more people are going to be on the fence about how they feel about conservation and our planet in general. And they're scared and they don't want something else to go wrong. So not to play on their fears, but to educate people and inform them about things that they could do. I mean, it could be something really easy, like, you know, instructing people, you know, how to buy products to create an edible garden. You know, and it doesn't have to be your breadth of knowledge. And this is what happens. It happens to me all the time. Like, I worked on my website last night, and I know it's just like way too many words. I'm going to have to spend just as much time editing it down. But people don't need to know everything that you know. What are those little things that you can teach people that will make a difference now? Because particularly in this climate that we're in right now, people want to be able to feel like they could do something and have a result. They could do something and there's a positive impact in their life, that they have control over something, even though we all know that that's just a fallacy. But you know, because we are so out of control right now. So, you know, being able to plant an edible garden and grow something and feed your family healthy food, that's a positive, like on so many levels. And, you know, can they, I don't know. I mean, that's just one example, but, you know, can you put together, you know, a plan for lessening your carbon footprint? Even though we're not doing a lot right now, you know, what are things that you can eliminate? I mean, we had two cars. As soon as this hit, we went and traded them in for one smaller car. We didn't need two cars. So, you know, even just like putting together a plan where you can help people or companies do this. So now companies, think of a company that has 40 employees. Now they don't have 40 employees coming to work for the foreseeable future. Is there somebody in your audience that can do a little, a workshop with them or some kind of training where they can lessen that carbon footprint for a certain amount of time and then be able to amp back up when they need to increase their carbon footprint again? And maybe it will be smaller when they do that. You know, I think people are just open to solutions because they feel like they don't have them. So really do that audit with what you do and what you, the services that you provide, and dig deep into those things that you don't even consider anything, you know, because those are the things that, one of the things that I learned from a coach that I worked with years ago is to think that the thing that requires the least amount of effort from you is the thing you should charge the most money for. Because that's your brilliance. And then as far as relating that to social media, share it. Share stories. Go into your old content and pull something out and update it, because we all have this wealth of information behind us as we're creating new. So share what you already have. Make it better. Make it current. And all with the mindset of how will this help somebody.
The name of your company is Social Pivot PR. And you've been working in the social media space for 14 years?
No, there really wasn't any social media space 14 years ago. But I like to say that I've been working in social media my entire life, because the reason that I took to it is this is how I always was. I was always the connector. I was always the one that put things together in a way that nobody else did. And I think that that's a really important skill on social media. And that's what helps you stand out, because you can have two people doing the same exact thing. But when you could really put it together in an interesting way, you automatically stand out. But social media, like in real life, I've been doing it about 10 years, 11 years.
How did you figure things out? We both belong to a community where you commonly hear the phrase thrashing your way to clarity. How did you thrash your way to clarity as an independent professional?
Through necessity. What I was doing, we were all making it up as we went along, because there were so few of us in the space, you know, 10, 11, 12 years ago. And, you know, it was what a client needed. So a client needed something, you figured it out. you know, and then you started to connect with the smart people online so we could help each other. And, you know, these are some amazing relationships that I still have. And, of course, like everything changed along the way 8 million times, but through that process of change, I recognized that you needed to focus on the things that don't change. And you need to, because I mean, I at one point I had a group program with over 200 people in it that was really focused on the how of every social media platform, SEO, PR, content. I mean, it was massive. And I was spending all of my time, and I had a team of 5 people, and we were updating all of this how-to stuff, and I burnt out. And I just let it all go because I couldn't keep up with it anymore. And that was a big defining moment for me where I had to just sit with everything I had and kind of lift the things that don't change to the top because I couldn't keep that pace up. Everything was just, you know, rapidly changing at an accelerated pace. And you know, I would have continually burnt myself out. So it's really with anything that you do, it doesn't necessarily need to be about social media. Always just kind of try and focus, like the meat of what you do should be around the things that don't change, the things that people are always going to want, because then it makes it easier to manage a business. You don't have to constantly update everything that you do.
Yeah, no, that's very good. Very good insight. Thank you. Yeah. This has been wonderful. Thank you. My big question was how people can move themselves forward, because I worry about the field. I worry about everyone who was set back to square one. And I am trying to find ways, work with people, collect information to create a wave that will bring everybody forward, or at least get people in a different position, you know, so they have a repositioned or they're in a new posture when things get back to whatever normals is going to be after this.
I'll give a little strategy, okay? Before you could put anything up on social media, you really have to know who you're talking to and what they want to hear. So right now, everything is being driven by the news more so than usual. If you just do some Google searches around some terms in your work, I would say the first thing you should do is kind of figure out who can use your help and what you can do to help them. And it doesn't need to be everything. Pick small little things and then go to Google and just Google whatever terms it is. Like I'm going to stick with the edible garden. Okay. So put edible garden into a Google search. And when the results come up at the top, there are tabs. There's everything. And the second one is news. Click on the news tab. And what you're going to have is the most recent news stories about edible gardens. So you don't have to go 5 and 6 and 10 pages in. You're going to get everything that's coming up right now. If it's being talked about in the news, they do research. They figure out what people want. So use those stories to guide the content that you're going to talk about because people are interested in this right now. And I really believe that people in your industry have a window right now to be able to talk about things about the environment, about conservation, about making the world better, healthier, because people are scared. And instead of feeding on the fear that the news is doing, turn it around and make it a positive. Give them something that they could do that will make an impact in their lives immediately. So it could be, you know, instead of buying a bottle of shampoo in plastic, that you buy a bar of soap shampoo. You know, I mean, it doesn't need to be anything drastic and big. Make it something that people can actually achieve and feel good about.
Besides social media, the channels, you know, the Instagram, the Twitter, the Facebook, and all the rest, how else can the independent professionals in my audience establish a presence?
They could be interviewed. And media means all different kinds of things these days. So it could be on podcasts like this, where, you know, you're speaking to a very targeted group of people. And podcasts are wonderful because the audiences are very loyal. And they come back and they listen to the whole show. There's very few media where you get that kind of attention. And keeping track of the media that you see, like, so if you see a journalist that wrote, I'm just going to stick with the edible gardens. So if you see a journalist that's writing about all these different edible gardens that are popping up as a result of what's going on in our world right now, and you have something to contribute to that, that's newsworthy, not just like, okay, I know about this. But if you've got something to contribute to that story, reach out to the journalists. They're always looking for resources and experts. And some of these journalists are working for 4 and 5 and 6 publications now. So they've got a lot on their plate and a lot of deadlines to meet. So reach out to them. Or there's something called HARO, Help a Reporter Out, which is a free email listing you can sign up for. And you don't need the paid version. They'll try and push you into that. Just sign up for the free one. And you'll get 3 emails a day with requests from journalists looking for last minute experts and resources for articles. And when you respond, just read that thing like 5 times and don't imagine it says something else. Give them exactly what they need. Don't pitch anything else. Be very brief. And in the subject line, just put responding to HARO, whatever the subject is. And if don't follow up. If they call you, they call. If they reach out, they reach out. I've had clients get into, you know, Washington Post, CBS News, because they needed somebody last minute. So even though they didn't have a lot of media experience, they were called in because, you know, it was a looming deadline. So those are ways that you can get out in front of people. Also live streams, you know, see who's doing live streams. People are really open. If you like somebody's live streams, reach out and say, I'd love to come and talk to your audience about whatever, and be visible online because people then find you. And that is the flip side of the benefit of having a small, tight community that care about the same things. When you see people, they see you too. So even commenting on those streams is a strategy. Just saying hi is a strategy because they're going to come and check you out. They're going to see what you're talking about. There is alignment there. There is connection there. And that's where it starts to grow.
That's a good insight. Yeah, I think, you know, when you are working freelance and you're working project to project, you know, there's more tasks and busy work than forward thinking sometimes, or you don't back up to really see your position in the world and what you're doing. So having a bird's eye view is beneficial. And this unfortunate opportunity affords that, I think, to some extent. It makes you stop and back up and see what you really have and what you've really been doing.
You get so caught up in the minutiae of the details that you forget where you fit in the whole ecosystem. So every once in a while, we need to step back and look at all of the moving parts and figure out, are those moving parts still working? Is this still what I do? Because that's the other thing that happens. One thing leads to another, and all of a sudden you're somebody else. But everything that you have doesn't represent that. So, you know, you want to keep consistency through who you are and what your voice is and what your presence is across the many platforms. And the other thing is don't feel compelled to be everywhere. Another benefit of listening first is figuring out where your audience is. Like I mentioned earlier, my client figured out that her audience is on LinkedIn. So she redirected everything for people to connect with her on LinkedIn. So instead of like on her website, like connect with me on these, you know, 7 different social platforms, she just has LinkedIn in her email signature. Meet me on LinkedIn. You know, at the end of her podcast, she's talking about LinkedIn. She's driving everything there because this is where she knows her community is. They're not on Instagram. So her spending time on Instagram is a waste of time. And that's what becomes frustrating.
Yeah, that's good, because there's a lot of self-imposed, imagined peer pressure to be everywhere. So, because you see everybody else has got at least the 3 big, you know, all 3 big, of the, you know, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram now.
Yeah, I mean, I always recommend being on Twitter for a couple of reasons. One, if you want to connect with the media, that's where they are. They're always looking for resources and experts. So knowing a handful of journalists or podcasters or whatever that you might want to connect with, knowing who they are and following them on Twitter and just keeping track of their conversations they almost always find you if you're talking about the same things that they're talking about in an organic way. So I always recommend Twitter. And Twitter is the easiest because all of the tools work with Twitter. Twitter has no restriction, obviously. But you can bypass all of those nasty conversations by using tools. And there's a free tool that you can use for Twitter to just track conversations. It's TweetDeck. It's free and you can schedule posts in there. It's only for Twitter. You could schedule posts in there and you could set up streams where you can follow hashtags, other accounts, you know, communication on your own account. So that's a really good tool and it's free and super easy. You just need to have your Twitter account open and open up TweetDeck and boom, everything is in there. Very self-explanatory. You don't need any training on it or anything. And then there are some other tools too, but I really believe that you need to use the tools to be able to manage your time and your tasks effectively and to get the intelligence that you want out of, you know, what's available. I mean, one of the things, I think I started saying this on the training that we had, that we turned social media into a portal of opportunity. It really is. I mean, and the opportunities are lurking between the things, you know, so you need to be in there looking. A couple of paid tools, if you want to try them, if you're on Instagram, later.com is amazing. And they sent an email this morning that they're offering reduced pricing for their I think it's the professional account, which is usually only about $20 a month if people can't afford it. Another one that I love is SmarterQ, because you could really do some serious tracking in there on other people's accounts on Facebook and on LinkedIn. And one that I love that is like an overall, you know, does everything is called eClincher. And it's a little bit more money. It's like $60 a month. That's the plan I would go for. The cheaper plan isn't really worth it. But it does, it's amazing what that tool does. So those are a couple of my favorites.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you. Where can people find you online?
They could find me at socialpivotpr.com. And from there, you can get everything you need to know about me. And, you know, don't be surprised if my website looks different from day to day because I'm working on it. That's what I'm doing with my extra time.
Okay. Well, thank you, Donna, so much. I appreciate you coming to talk about social media and to give some valuable insight into how people can keep moving themselves forward during this time and position themselves to, you know, hit the ground running when we get back to work.
Just show up, be visible, and learn. Well, I mean, there's so much to learn, and be ready because this is not going to be forever. It's going to, you know, we will come out of this, and people will be wanting to do business in a different way. I believe we're going to come out as a kinder, gentler society, and you know, the people in your industry are going to be needed.
To learn more about Donna and the resources she shared during our conversation, visit the show notes for this episode at talaterra.com. In the show notes, you'll also find information about Donna's visibility workshops. You can learn more about them by clicking on the link in the show notes. Thank you for stopping by today. See you next week.